You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. Part 2. The Challenge.
Junior!
They were still on the stinking moon in the Munchkata system. The engineer had assured Sheriff Justice that they'd be in the air in 45 minutes. Over an hour had passed.
Yes, sir?
Why are we still sitting on this rock?
Junior's face twisted in thought and fear.
Because we haven't taken off yet?
Justice's eyes narrowed.
Get out of my sight!
Junior put his hand on his hat and turned to run away.
Where are you going? I need you here!
Junior stopped and nearly toppled over as he turned around. He looked torn between running away anyway and returning to his father's side. In the end, he pouted and stayed put.
Sir, we have a communication from GCP Central Office, one of the officers said.
Put it on the screen.
BT Justice stood up and walked forward from his chair.
Junior, don't stand too close. I don't want you in the shot.
Junior backed up with his head down as the image of Counselor Petrine faded into existence. His hands were hidden in the sleeves of his robes, and he looked displeased, judging by the frown on his face.
Sheriff Justice, I thought you'd like to know we've located the SS Acid Rat.
You have?
He tried to feign surprise.
We've also detected that your ship accessed the Galactic Central Point Central Office computers and also obtained this information.
Caught in a ruse, there was no use lying.
Yes.
I must ask, Sheriff Justice, are you anywhere near the system where the spaceship Acid Rat is?
Sheriff Justice smiled.
No.
And he wasn't about to give any more information.
Sheriff Justice, we have been having difficulties tracking your ship. What are your coordinates?
I told you before, we are running silent in our system. We are looking for a smuggler that hasn't left our system yet.
Petrine's eyes narrowed and his brow furrowed.
At this time, you are not granted access to leave your own system. Please keep that in mind, Sheriff. I wouldn't want to see you overstep your bounds. If I find that you have, your only course of action will be to report here to Galactic Central Point Central Office to stand trial.
Like a common criminal? That would never happen. He would catch the SS Acid Rat and haul it back to Bomda and place the entire crew under arrest. Never had anyone snuck onto his planet and stolen right from under his nose, and he wasn't about to let this one get away.
I understand, Counselor Petrine.
Do you? Do you understand the consequences of leaving your own system without authority? I can assure you, Sheriff Justice, that the Central Office will not go easy on a rogue officer loose in the galaxy. It is possible that your punishment will be most unpleasant.
Empty threats. That's what they were dishing to him. If he brought in a criminal wanted in over 40 systems, he'd be a hero. Not only on his home world, but across the galaxy. He'd be the man that brought the weasel to justice. He would live up to his namesake. There was nothing the GCP Central Office could do, but he didn't want to push his luck until such a time as he had the SS Acid Rat in custody.
I understand.
Counselor Petrine studied BT Justice for several long moments. Finally, after an intolerably long time, his image faded.
Junior, I want this ship off the ground now. Do you hear me? Now! Let's move. I don't want any more excuses. If that ship has left Blanchard by the time we get there, heads will roll.
He snapped his riding crop against his leg. He thought about wrapping Junior against the head, but he wanted the boy to be alert.
Sir, Junior said and swallowed hard, engineering reports that we are ready to take off.
That's more like it.
To the Blanchard system, and don't tell me some nitwit forgot to enter in the coordinates and I have to wait for that.
There was silence.
Well?
We're ready to take off, sir. You'll want to buckle in.
Sheriff Justice clicked a button on his uniform and his boots magnetically secured to the floor.
I'm ready. I don't want to wait any longer. Get me to the Blanchard system and get me there quickly.
The apprehension slipped off the moon and into hyperspace. With the canister on the ground, and June signaling all was clear, Vic got out of the crane. He didn't so much get out of the crane as he was carried out and passed over the top of the crowd back to his ship. People swarmed from all directions. This was heaven. He found himself deposited back next to the acid rat. June stood stolidly, with her arms crossed. She looked as cold as steel in her outfit. Vic had tried to dissuade her from her choice of uniform and had suggested something a little less intimidating, but she wouldn't have it. He wasn't about to bring up the point, not with her mad at him. He thought about slapping her on the bottom and congratulating her, but only laughed at the idea. Last time he'd done that, he'd gotten a black eye. He gave Dexter a pat on the head and walked back over to Argmon, whom was still standing with Verbiti. The man wore a massive grin.
"Vic, you've done it, my lad, you've done it! This is wonderful! Not only have you brought us a load of Tanindrium, you've eliminated the rebel threat! Well, at least for the short term."
"Who were they?"
"They had blown up two official vessels bringing Tanindrium to Planchar, and that's when the trade embargo with Bomda started. If it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't have gotten this load."
"And speaking of that, you didn't tell us that it would be illegal to get this stuff off Bomda, and you didn't tell us we'd be at risk of being shot at when we returned. I'm going to have to up my price."
"Of course, of course. Money is no worry. I'll make sure you and your crew are well taken care of. Before we concern ourselves with such petty matters as money, what do you say we have a celebration?"
Vic smiled. He loved a good party. Besides, they couldn't go back to Munchkata yet. There was a police cruiser there waiting for them.
"Sounds good. I'd like that."
He could feel June's anger aimed at him. That psychic stuff hurt sometimes. He'd have to let her know to bring it down a notch.
"Excellent!"
Chancellor Verbiti clapped his hands like a giddy schoolboy.
"Arrangements have already been made. I anticipated you would stay."
Vic smiled, and Argmon barked a low, gruff bark. Verbiti pulled Vic aside.
"Please have your crew dress appropriately. This will be a formal event."
"I'll have them go out and into town and get some new clothes. Should I have the bill sent to you?"
"I wouldn't dream of you doing otherwise. I shall see you there."
The Chancellor left and vanished into the crowd that had already started dispersing. Once he was gone, Vic hugged Argmon.
"Can you believe it? I knew this trip was going to pay off."
"Don't get cocky, Vic,"
June's voice said in his ear. "Don't get sour, June. I know you really wanted to get back to Munchkata right away. We're just being a little delayed." June didn't answer.
"Come on, June. You know we can't risk going back now. Not with a police cruiser sitting there and waiting for us. I'll get a hold of someone, and they'll let us know when the coast is clear, and we can zip back."
"It'll be too late by then."
"And you're going to hold that against me?
For taking risky assignments?"
"Yes."
"But look how much we're getting paid for this trip." "It's not about the money, Vic."
June finally turned her body to face him. She raised her hands to her helmet and removed it. That was a good thing, because it always creeped him out when she talked inside her helmet, and he couldn't see her face.
"June,"
Vic said in a meager attempt to console her.
"Not this time. You can count me out on the next assignment. I'm going to find something back on Munchkata when we get there, and this little jaunt around the galaxy is over."
"But you love your job."
"Didn't she?"
"I don't care. Your shenanigans are going to get us all tossed into jail. You've got Joey now, and you can tote him all over the place if you like. I'm through. No more rebellions. No more guarding a ship. No more illegal shipments. I'm done."
She was really hot this time. She'd blown up before, but never like this.
What is it that's so important for her back on Munchkata? Vic didn't even know how to respond. He just looked at her, his mouth agape. "That's about the response I'd expect from you, Vic. Go enjoy your victory celebration. I'll be on the ship."
"But..."
She spun on her heel and stomped back into the acid rat. Vic had the feeling he wasn't going to get her back out again.
Eep, eep, eep.
Well, he had the naked triped and a naked Shathar to take along to the celebration. Not much need to go shopping for them. Mike scared people everywhere he went, so he was going to be restricted to the ship. Joey had passed out. Maybe he'd wake up in time. Vic knew he'd feel really stupid showing up without his entire crew, and June needed to be there. The Chancellor was expecting her. She deserved this as much as anyone. She'd saved the shipment. And this wasn't the first time.
Eep, eep, eep.
"I'm thinking, Dexter," Vic said and pulled the earpiece out. "I'm thinking. Perhaps I can help you there." A fat man in a white suit and a tall white hat walked up. His white boots stomped on the platform and echoed loudly. He had long, thin, white hair and a thick white mustache. In his mouth he chewed on a massive cigar. Beside him strode a much shorter and thinner version of the man, minus the white hair, mustache, and cigar.
"Name's Almo. Pleasure to finally meet a legend like yourself. Paul, this man here is a living legend here in this galaxy."
The little one responded, "Legends and derelicts look a lot alike, I guess."
"You watch that mouth, little one. I won't have you talking like that in this man's presence."
"Who are you?" Vic eyed the two men warily. Something about them didn't feel right.
"I'm Almo Petrino, and this is my son, Paul Petrino, and we've got an offer you can't refuse."
Almo accented his last words by pointing his cigar at Vic. That was doubtful, but Vic was never one to dismiss an offer. He was still riding the high feeling of making this delivery of Tenindrium, and the pay they were going to receive. This would have to be something big to keep his attention for long. Really big. Joey didn't look good at all. His face turned an ashen white, and his body went limp. Mike dragged him up to his bunk room and laid him down. The boy looked so defenseless. Mike laughed to himself. It was perfect. It was very likely that this boy could be easily manipulated into thinking everything was all right, and anything he was told was the truth. He wouldn't know any better. After all, his situation, as extreme as it wasn't anything remotely close to normal. He also didn't know June and Vic any better. All Mike had to do was befriend the boy and execute the boss's plan through Joey, and Mike would be in the clear. It was
perfect. Just when I want to be alone, you two are in here.
June's eyes burned with anger. Mike cowered back.
What happened?
I don't want to talk about it. Mike had learned that when June said this, it meant she didn't want to talk to Vic about it. Perhaps she could also be used in the plan.
Don't be that way, June. I didn't do anything to you. Tell me what happened.
Mike, piss off. I'm not in the mood to talk.
You say that, but you don't really mean it.
Mike tried to keep his tone consolatory.
What did Vic do this time?
It had to be Vic's fault she was upset.
I'll tell you what he did.
June threw her helmet into the lounge. Tootsie sensors detected it and froze it in midair.
He screwed up my plans for when this trip was over. And why, you ask? Because of his ego. Bringing in an illegal shipment of Tenindrium earned him a nice paycheck, but an even bigger celebration. This is a job,
Mike countered weakly. He knew this would goad her anger further.
I can find any number of jobs that would pay more and not get the police to chase us. I didn't have a choice when I got here. Vic is the only other person from my planet. I'm stuck.
She started to cry.
Joey is here. That makes three of you.
June sniffed.
I'm stuck in outer space with an egotistical man and a boy who faints at the drop of a hat. Oh, I'm such a lucky girl.
Wait. If June was in here, Vic was still outside. The boss had said that the deal would be going down. It could be happening right now. He had to get outside. But how to do that and keep June consoled? How?
June, I must attend to a matter. I think you need to get some rest. Perhaps things will look better later.
Oh, so you're ditching me too. Just like a man.
Well, I'm really not a man. I
don't care what you are. Just go. I need some time alone. He was going to point out the fact that she really wasn't alone and that Joey was here, but decided it wasn't the wisest pursuit. Mike scrambled out of the bunk room, down through the cargo bay, and to the exit ramp. He paused in the shadows and watched. Vic was talking to a big man in a white suit, accompanied with a shorter man in the same white suit. Mike frowned. It was happening. It was happening right now, and he couldn't hear what they were saying. He had to get out there. How? He couldn't just amble up and act like nothing was going on. He needed a reason. Slowly he made his way outside. He didn't want to startle anyone. There was something about his race that universally frightened people. He smiled as he walked out to try and reassure the strangers.
Daddy!
The short one exclaimed.
What's that?
Son, that there is an arachnidon from the planet Krakus. They're like giant spider people.
The big man knew about Krakus and wasn't afraid, but the little one hid behind his father. Mike was glad that at least one of them wasn't running for cover.
The name's Mike. I'm glad to meet you.
I'm Almo Petrino, and this is my son, Paul Petrino.
Vic wheeled around.
Mike, what are you doing out here? I didn't say it was clear to come off the ship.
Mike took a deep breath.
I just wanted to let you know that Joey and June are all right. Joey passed out. Nothing more. June, though...
Vic waved Mike to be silent and pointed at the two men. The deal was happening. The man in the white knew about Krakus because the boss had told him. It was the only way he could possibly know. Most people were ignorant of the Spider People's home planet.
Now, you were saying something about a shipment you needed, Vic prompted.
Indeed. The large man in white pulled his son out from behind him and pushed him back to his side.
Junior and I here are having a little side party of our own, you see. Our business is responsible for a large amount of this pollution, and we've been trying to get this shipment here for a long time. The first shipment I paid for myself, and my insurance had to help me recoup my losses. The second one I paid half for, and the government picked up the rest of the tab. I had to bully my insurance company to get reimbursed for that tragic loss. Now, I was getting a mite frustrated, as I'm sure you can imagine. The people wanted the air cleaned up and think it's mostly my fault. The government wants the air cleaned up and thinks it's mostly my fault. These rebels like the planet the way it is and think we should stop putting anything else into our air, even if it means that it'll clean it up. So I'm stuck in the middle, and since I've got money, people expect me to pay. So I did.
Vic crossed his arms across his chest and started tapping his foot. Mike had never seen Vic get impatient before. It was interesting to observe. If Almo didn't get to the point, Vic would just turn around and leave. Mike wanted to jump in, but there wasn't an opportunity to do so.
Now, I know you've a reputation for getting things quickly. This is why I recommended you for the Tenindrium job, being that it was, how shall I put it, a lucrative endeavor for you. I think I'm due some of your time as well. I can make it worth your while.
I've got a party to go to, and a crew that's not so happy with me. You'll have to pardon me if I pass. Vic turned to leave. Mike nearly leapt out of his skin. Vic couldn't turn this down. He just couldn't.
Vic, I expected better from you. It's an easy task. I can get Chancellor Verbitti to hold up the celebration, as you will be slightly detained. I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Vic turned back around. As he did, he winked at Mike.
What do you mean, worth my while?
I had to put up half your paycheck for this load of Tenindrium.
Half? That's a lot of money. But what would you say if I offered you, shall we say, double or nothing?
Double or nothing?
If you can make it back with the shipment I send you for in 24 standard hours, I'll double not just my payment to you, but double the entire paycheck. You could buy a lot of time off for that kind of money and make your crew happy, I'd wager.
Vic rubbed his chin. He had to take this deal. He just had to. Mike mopped his sweaty brow. He'd never been so nervous.
You do realize that my pay was already doubled because of a run-in with local authorities on Bomda.
I hadn't realized that.
Ammo chewed on his cigar for a moment and shifted it from side to side.
No matter. My offer is already on the table, and the offer stands. What do you say, Vic? I don't have much time to negotiate.
Ammo planted his hands on his hips. He had this negotiating down to an art. Mike stopped worrying for the moment. If Vic didn't take this, he was stupid.
That's a lot of money. With the police cruiser out there waiting for me, I don't know if I can risk it.
Risk it, Mike thought. Almo didn't move. Vic bit at his fingernails.
I don't know. Oh, Vic, don't let me down. It's just a short hop, two systems over. It's not that I'm concerned about. It's the fact that you're doubling my already doubled pay. That's a lot of money for a quick trip out and back. There's got to be a catch. I don't know that I need to put my crew through that kind of risk with the law already on my tail.
This party is really important to me, Vic.
Important or not, I'm going to have to pass.
No!
All eyes turned to Mike. Frantically, he tried to recover.
Vic, this is a lot of money. Think about it. Don't just pass it up.
Mike, since when are you concerned about money?
Why? I don't know why. I've got to think of something and quick. I never told you. I've got children back on Krakus. They need food, clothing. I've been sending my money back to them.
Argmon growled. Easy, boy, Vic soothed. Mike, I didn't know. I figured you were a loner just like the rest of us. But I can't put us all at risk for just one person. You must understand that. Mike hated creating a lie to try and get Vic to take this deal. This wasn't going to work. Time had run out. What was he going to do?
Triple.
Elmo tossed his cigar to the ground and crushed it with the heel of his boot.
My final offer.
Looks like you just hired the SS Acerat, Mr. Petrino. Vic reached out and shook Elmo's hand. Joey could feel someone touching his face, but everything was black.
What happened? Where am I?
His mind was muddled. He coughed. He rolled over. He finally opened his eyes.
Good. You're awake. Vic wants to talk to everyone. I personally don't like the tone of his voice at the moment. He sounds too happy.
June talked, but the words didn't register right away. She had her helmet off, but still had the tight black outfit on. Joey looked from her waist up to her face. His head felt full of lead, and his eyes drooped.
Joey!
June snapped her fingers in front of his face. She tucked her arm under his and pulled him to his feet. His head banged into the upper bunk. She apologized and dragged him across the narrow passageway and into the lounge. Everyone, including SBX-39 with his suspicious glare, sat waiting. Vic stood.
Great. You're awake, kid. I want you to hear this, too, because you're part of the crew now.
What did you get us into this time, Vic? I don't like that gleam in your eye.
June, I just made a deal for this crew that I couldn't turn down. Tootsie, I need a timer set for 24 standard hours, and I need it to start counting down now.
You've got it, Vic.
Okay, we're about to get instructions from one Elmo Petrino. Those instructions will include directions, an inventory list, and verification of funds to be deposited.
Vic, June said, shaking her head, what's going on? I thought you were going to a party.
We're all going to that party, June. Vic frowned. I want you to go. The celebration is for all of us.
Whatever.
Just sit down and let me tell you guys the deal. Mr. Petrino has offered to triple the pay for this job if we get him his items and get back in 24 hours.
Or?
Or? What do you mean, or?
There had to be an ultimatum. He's not just going to triple our pay for getting some stuff in a short amount of time.
Eep, eep, eep.
Vic looked at the floor. Joey, his head still not fully aware yet, tried to figure out what was going on. Obviously they had made the delivery, and there was going to be some sort of party, and this Elmo guy needed something. It was also confusing.
He did say something about double or nothing at first, but now it's triple.
Or nothing?
June snapped.
Well, yes, but it's going to be really easy. He just needs some stuff for his party. It'll be a snap.
Getting the Tanindrium was supposed to be a snap, Vic. It took us 2 weeks just to find a supplier. It sounds like this Elmo person is trying to screw us out of our money. What did you get us into?
Vic rubbed his mouth. He looked like someone who'd been caught making a terrible decision. Three times he tried to respond, but had nothing to say.
Vic, you idiot! This guy is going to send us all over, and we're going to lose the pay for this job. Not to mention we've got a police cruiser waiting for us back on Munchkata, and you ruined my plans for when we get back. How stupid could you be?
This is going to work,
Vic said weakly. June snorted in disgust and left.
Vic?
Yeah, kid. Vic had lost all his prior enthusiasm.
I was out for a little bit, but what's going on? You got another job?
Sort of.
Vic filled Joey in on all the details about the job in question. Something didn't feel right.
So you see, kid, I thought it would be best for everyone if we took this job. I mean, we're not just getting paid double or triple. We're getting paid double already. This guy is going to triple that pay. We're making 6 times our usual rate. That's a lot of money.
How could I turn it down?
Eep, eep, eep.
Thank you, Dexter. See, he's up for a challenge.
But you get nothing for the delivery or the delivery of Tanindrium if you don't make it back in time.
I think the guy is just being dramatic. It doesn't matter.
The government is already paying us their part, so even if we don't make it, we're still even. Joey's head finally started clearing.
But why would he make that kind of deal if there wasn't a risk involved?
That's what makes it fun. Joey didn't like the glint in Vic's eye. It gleamed of trouble.
So, Vic,
Mike chimed up,
how long until we hear about the details for the job?
Joey gave Mike a dubious look. Mike had been outside while the deal was made. Why didn't he know what was going on? If anything, Vic, Argmon, Dexter, and Mike should all know about what was going on. Only June, Jupnop, SBX-39, Tootsie, and Joey were inside while the deal was being made. The sweet voice of Tootsie filled the chamber.
Vic, you've got a call coming through.
Put it through here. A fat man in a white suit appeared in the middle of the lounge. Joey nearly leapt out of his skin. It looked so real, so lifelike. It was disturbing.
Ah, Vic, I see you're back on your ship. I hope you have notified your crew and they're all ready to go.
They are. June knew he was ready to leave this planet. The pollution took its toll on its senses and he wanted to see a different planet, hopefully something more Earth-like. June poked her head around the corner and watched. Joey felt better knowing she didn't stray far. Her presence was the most comforting.
My computer is talking with your computer right now, and giving it the coordinates. It's only one place that I need you to go.
Vic leaned back in his chair and tried to look relaxed. What are we picking up?
It'll be a shipment from the Rokmu system. In that system is a planet covered completely in ice and snow. The Rado planet. And their chief export is beer. My favorite beer. I want you to get me as much as your ship can carry.
That's it? Pick up some beer for your party?
That's it. And be back here in 24 standard hours.
I don't think we'll need the full 24 hours, but we'll take them all the same.
Your computer should have all the details by now. I suggest you get going. And soon.
The image of the fat man in the white suit disappeared. Tootsie, are you working on the course yet?
Vic, I've got bad news.
Tootsie ticked and dinged several times.
We won't be able to make it there and back in 24 hours based on the route I've plotted.
I knew it! June shouted from the doorway. Tootsie, how is that possible? He said it was just a couple of systems over.
It is. We'll be able to get there quickly enough. The problem is that the sector we go through to get there doesn't allow transport of such beverages, and has a standing blockade to enforce that law. We'll have to go around the sector to get back, and going around that sector takes us past two black holes and a neutron star with such gravitational forces that we'll be forced to make additional course corrections. The best course I have plotted, which skirts the very outside edge of that sector, brings us back in 26 hours and 10 minutes.
Vic stood up. We'd better get going. We'll find somewhere to make up the time once we've got the load. Everyone, get buckled in. Argmon, let's go.
You've been listening to VNA Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. VNA Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions-Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.